Sixth Grade Conference, Lecture 6, The Sixth Grader, Part 3. Now, in sixth grade, you are, I hope, going to be teaching about the life of Jesus as part of your history classes. It may be that if you're in a charter school, you're a bit reluctant to do that. That's something we'll take up later on in the history discussion. But it is important to recall that at age 12, the Jesus children, as Steiner tells us, two of them, went through very profound, very significant transformation, in which we might say, though, speaking of personal karma with a lofty spiritual being like this is not entirely correct. But there certainly were karmic beings, karmic consequences of other lifetimes that flowed into the bodies that these beings had. And it was there in a temple, almost a kind of bar mitzvah experience that one of the Jesus children had. And this was to work on him very powerfully, very profoundly, so powerfully that Rudolf Steiner actually had to create a fifth gospel to describe what went on in the life of Jesus in his teenage years. So Steiner paid very careful attention to this age, and we could see that whether it's the life of Jesus or whether it's the life of one of the perhaps less holy children in your class, this is an important time and something that I think schools do not pay enough attention to. When we start to talk about adolescence, it's always grade seven and grade eight. Those are sort of the glamorous years. Sixth grade gets a bit neglected in this look. Puberty is a trickier time in a child's life to really understand and deal with. Adolescence is a lot more to be found in the literature and in the discussion of the planetary types and things like that, but it's very important. Something else that we need to take care with is that the temperaments are like anything else that is fourfold. That's a giveaway. It has to do with the etheric body. The four seasons and the four temperaments, of course, and the four elements, the four fallen ethers. So when the astral body comes, we're no longer talking about a fourfoldness. The astral body works in a twofoldness. That is to say, it's positive and negative, joy and sorrow, feminine and masculine, love and hate, up and down. It's the roller coaster. It's the rapid shift between poles. Now, you might think, well, that's going to make my work easier. Now, I only have two things to think about. Actually, it makes your work more complicated, because now that you have the astral body added to the etheric body, you're going to have an eightfold quality. And this eightfold quality, I would say, is the transition between temperament, which already starts to fade in fourth grade, and personality, which takes on a very strong quality in the high school years. But now from grade six through about grade eight, you're in this in-between time where you still have strongly temperamental qualities arising in the students, but on top of this, or woven into it, are also the polarizations that you find in personality. And if we think of one of Freud's disciples, Alfred Adler, he said that all personality types can basically be reduced to two prototypes, the introvert and the extrovert. So let's work with that and say, okay, that means we're going to have introverted melancholics. There's someone whose state of being could easily be confused for depression. And nowadays, often is, outside of Waldorf schools, usually is, and these are kids who are already receiving medications. Be very careful with parents in the way you describe a child like this, or you will scare them, and they'll run off and, you know, get the child medicated. Then you have the extroverted melancholic. The child who's going to share her melancholy with everybody in the class. Actually, here you have a child who's going to be a kind of more outward about the seriousness of their worldview. They'll love to share compositions with the other students on, you know, how tragic life is. But usually there, between the natural inwardness of the melancholic and the more extroverted quality of this child's astral body, you get a very nice balance. Introverted phlegmatic. Here is a child who can appear to be very, very dull and very, very stupid. But remember Nietzsche's wonderful saying that still waters run deep, that we really have to recognize some very, very profound things may be going on here, and don't dismiss that child too much. An extroverted, phlegmatic child. Here you have a child who, because of his or her phlegmatic temperament, may in the earlier grades have been something of a pariah in the class, maybe easily picked on by bullies, if you had any in your class. Now, however, the combination, again, the balance of an extroverted astral quality with the more natural introversion of the phlegma of that child's temperament, this too will bring about a balance. And it's not unusual that the extroverted phlegmatic child becomes the most popular child in the class. Everybody loves him, even though nobody could give you an accurate description of why. He just becomes someone who's really appreciated and recognized. Number three, sanguines. Extroverted sanguine, okay? Do I need to say anything else? You've got a real handful there, especially as puberty and adolescence come on. Already, of course, a sanguine is generally further ahead than everyone else in the class in their interest in romance, sexuality, what the older kids are doing. So an extroverted sanguine is going to be a real handful. And watch it, because they're going to cross the line. They're going to try out one thing or another. You've really got to be very vigilant with this particular group. Introverted sanguine. Here you see something very interesting. This will be the class poet. This will be the class artist. This will be someone who, in a way, will work out their love of variety and change, their love of love, do it in an artistic way. So once again, you've got a wonderful balance. The astral body brings a kind of contemplative quality, even as the etheric body is bringing this sort of lack of focus and concentration. And this will be the person now who will start to organize the class's fundraising efforts, will help you organize a class trip, can be stage manager in the play. Very interesting what an artistic impulse such a child brings. And then you've got the extroverted choleric. Here again, leadership, but also recklessness. You can have a very strong quality of defiance here. This will be the person who will argue with you, starts to doubt your words, starts to do research in the library, or more likely nowadays, on the internet, to see if what you're teaching is correct, and if not, to let everybody know it and prove it. And so this is the individual who really tries a teacher's soul. And sometimes teachers who can't handle this particular individual, they will not be able to make it through the 3 years. All you need is one extroverted choleric in the class, And not every class actually has one. Cholerics are rare enough. But this is a person who's really going to demand your wakefulness and your humor and also your strength of soul, your ability to really draw the line and know when to say when. And then the introverted choleric will be your obedient servant, will want to serve you, support you, help you. Again, a very wonderful balance that comes about. So you can see what's happening now. You've got, in a way, eight things to be thinking about, eight possible characteristics, and of course every combination in between as well. But you also have this real dividing up of the class of a group of kids who are really challenging, more challenging than they were when they were younger. Because even though you can reason with them now, they can turn that reason around and run circles around you. And then you've got the other half who are really going to embody all that Waldorf education can bring to students. But do not make the error that I see more and more teachers making in the upper grades of finding ways, pretexts, to get rid of the difficult kids, so that in your old age of 7th and 8th grade, you can finally sit back and relax a little and everybody loves you. Be very careful about that. Many teachers will also say to me in 8th grade, well, I know I only have 3 children left in the class. You know, all of the really good ones left. I don't want to show you their work because it's just not very good. The artistic children all left. That's the other thing that can happen, that that sort of a teacher is not able to really draw in the whole class and tends to get weighed down with one side or the other. So here again, I'll be giving you tips, I hope, throughout the course of the conference on what children can be led to do, how we can help them with this eightfold quality, which is something that, again, we don't talk about enough in the grade school. There's always this very great emphasis on the fourfoldness, on the temperaments. And then in high school, often teachers switch to the sevenfoldness of the planetary types, also valid and important. But this eightfold quality that is so strong from grade 6 through the end of grade 9 or so for many children, this is also something very important to dwell upon. So this brings me to the end of this overall picture of the child at 6th grade and the tremendous challenges that this age brings, but also every one of these challenges is an opportunity for you as a teacher. You are going to grow in a way that is not quite so possible in the younger grades. You are going to really have karmic encounters now with your children. You're going to have to meet them on a very different level. And you're going to have to meet your parents in a different way. And swirling around all of this is the anxiety of the business office, of the board, of your colleagues or whatever. Is this 6th grade going to end up with 5 kids in it? Is this teacher going to be able to manage? And I think it's important for us to start thinking about this in a new and fresh way and understand that the only way we can comprehend what's going on in grade 6 is to accept and understand the reality of reincarnation and karma.